2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God and from our brother Timothy, to the church of God in Corinth and to all the saints throughout all Achaia. Now the saints are God's special ones, God's chosen ones, and we're God's saints. Saints aren't just people who are particularly seen as very holy or whatever. We are all saints, we're all special, and we all tend to wake up in the morning and think that I'm not very special. And we are God's special ones. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Thanks be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, the God from whom all help comes. He helps us in all our tribulations so that we're able to help others who have the same kind of tribulation, using the same help which we ourselves have received from God. So if you have a situation in your life and God helps you in it, maybe you're bullied at school or you have some particular illness or bad experience and God helps you, that is so that you can then help somebody else who is suffering in that same way. That's why suffering is rather wasted unless we use it to help others. The whole purpose of all the things that happen in our lives is so that we can help other people. And it's all part of this big program. Of course, it might not happen immediately. It's not that, for example, you get very bad cold, flu, pneumonia, etc. And then straight away, once it's finally cleared up, a week later you meet someone else who's got that. It may be years later. And so all these things are in God's plan, and nothing is actually wasted. So he goes on, just as we have a share in Christ's many sufferings, so also through Christ we can share in God's comfort. If we suffer, it is for your help and salvation. If we are helped, then you too are helped, and given the strength to endure with patience the same sufferings which we also share. So our hope of you is certain, knowing that just as you have shared in the sufferings, you will also share in the comfort. So then, that's another aspect on suffering, that we are sharing in the sufferings of Jesus. And if we suffer with him, as Paul says elsewhere, we shall also reign with him. It's like when you're baptized, you go under the water, which is like death with Jesus, and then you come up out of the water like resurrection with him. And our lives are therefore lived in Christ, so that we might forever live with him when he comes again. We want to remind you, brothers, of all the suffering that we had in Asia. The affliction that we had was so great and so heavy that we gave up all hope of remaining alive. We had, as it were, the sentence of death in ourselves. But this happened so that we should trust not in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. From such terrible threat of death, God saved us and will save us. And we have trusted in him that he will save us again, as you also help us through your prayers for us. So it will be that through many prayers being answered, God will bless us, and many will give praise to him for answering the prayers. So again, you see how the whole program works out, that we have need, we ask others to pray, and the more people who pray for us, the more people will thank God when the answer comes, and there'll be even more glory to God. So this is yet another window onto why we suffer. So that we can pray and ask others to pray, and so that we can thank God when we're saved and thereby glorify him. So Paul goes on, we know that in our conscience that our lives in this world and our relationship with you have been overruled by God's sincerity and honesty, by the power of God's grace and not by human wisdom. We write to you only that which you already know and understand, but even though you understand us in part, I do hope that the time will come when you completely understand us, so that in the day of the Lord Jesus, you can rejoice with us as we shall rejoice over you. I was certain that I had made plans at first to visit you in order that you might be blessed twice. For I did plan to visit you on my way to Macedonia and again on my way back from Macedonia, in order to receive the help that you had promised for those in Judea. In planning this, I was not fickle. But when I made my plans, I didn't make them from selfish motives. I wasn't saying yes, yes, and no, no, at one and the same time. And as surely as God is true, my promise to you was not yes or no. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was preached among you by Silas, Timothy, and myself, is not a case of yes and no, but in him is the divine yes. For it is he who is the amen, the yes, to all the promises of God. And so, through Jesus Christ, we can say amen also to the glory of God. So, you see, Paul had changed his travel plans. He had originally planned to come twice to them, on his way to Macedonia and on his way back. And when he changes his travel plans, they complain that, oh, you're fickle, you keep changing your plans, you're not a serious person. And he says, no, I am serious. I'm simply walking in step with the Spirit of God. And God is not a case of yes and no. God thinks this one minute and something else the next. God is yes. God is positive. And that's how we should be, because we live in a very negative world and we're all inclined to be negative. Oh, can't do this. Oh, can't do that. Oh, shouldn't say that. Oh, shouldn't do that. Oh, can't go there. Whereas God is yes. God is positive. And this is how we should be if we've given our whole heart, soul and life to him and he's filled us with the Spirit, then everything becomes yes. So Paul goes on, it is God himself who has made you together with us certain of our life in union with Christ. It is God himself who has set us apart from the world, who has placed his seal upon us, who has given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts to guarantee all else that he has promised us. So Paul's very positive. He says, you as well as me are going to be saved. You as well as me have been given the Holy Spirit. You together with me are certain of eternal life in the future. Well, the people in Corinth were terribly weak. But the point is that Paul didn't judge them. He considered that every baptized believer was going to be saved. And that's how we should consider all those who are baptized into Christ, not judging that, oh, I don't think this one's very good. We don't know how things are going to end up. And we've also got to be aware of our own weakness. And he also says that God had given Corinth the Spirit in their hearts, which is true. But then he also writes to them in 1 Corinthians and says, I can't write to you as to spiritual people. So you can be given the Spirit of God, but not use it. And that was the case in Corinth. And we've got to ask God to help us realize our potential and the gift of his Spirit and to use it.